Grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world, according to the will of God and our Father, who has delivered us from power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. We have been looking at a couple of things that I started, the studying about the healing ministry of Jesus Christ. We studied about it. That was his assignment. We talked about his assignment and that all of us have an assignment. And Jesus got his assignment from Isaiah 61 when he went and he read it before the congregation, if you will, the church in the synagogue back in the day. And then he began to perform those things. And we know that he encountered in his time here evil spirits, demons, and so forth. And so we went back and saw the origin of evil spirits. And we showed according to the Word of God, and we showed according to the Book of Enoch and other sources that these entities are not fallen angels. They are evil spirits. Those are the children of the Nephilims, that their spirit, when they died, they became evil spirits, as we saw. And we know that they had made a contract that they are going to destroy mankind because they feel as if they blame us for what judgment they had received from God. So that's why we know that they manifest in many different ways. We saw them in Jesus' life. In the last podcast we looked at, and we saw that when Jesus was leaving, that he gave this same authority to his disciples. And you and I, who are born again, that same authority translate down to us as well. So we can do the very same thing. The first incarnation, if you will, of the disciples, what they did on earth, the Bible, actually Jesus said that we would be doing greater things than what he did. And we know what he did was some incredible stuff. We know that he walked on water. We know that he cast out demons and all these different things. And so we know that Philip teleported from one place to another way back before Star Trek. We know that these guys did a tremendous amount of things. But all of them did it through utilizing one law. And that law is the law of faith. I have been teaching on the law of faith for many years, Blueprint of Faith. And I felt that that was one of my assignments that God had given to me, simply because one day he had told me to study faith. And I actually had studied it for about a year or so before I even began to talk to people about it. And so as we are seeing that Jesus Christ utilized this law of faith, and because he utilized this law of faith, he was able to do many things that in the kingdom of darkness is not possible. In the kingdom of darkness, you know, those guys, as I said, they use tools or they use things from the kingdom of God in order to cast out demons in the kingdom of darkness, those that are not born again. And what they use is the name of Jesus Christ. The fact that they have a cross means nothing. The name is what the devil is afraid of, because the Bible tells us in these evil spirits, it says that every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. So we know that they are, their weak spot, if you will, is the name of Jesus Christ. So what I wanted to do with this particular podcast, because I'm trying to thread that line, that linear line, so that you guys can follow through, if you will. We started with Jesus healing. We saw about him dealing with evil spirits and demons and so forth. And then we went into the life of the disciples. And I wanted to stop here for a minute and discuss this thread that is visible within the pages of the Word of God, but also it was visible within lives of individuals that walk this planet. And that thread that you have witnessed within The healing and creation of everything that is done on this plane is done by faith, the law of faith. And we know this because in Genesis chapter 1, it tells us that God created the heavens and the earth. And as we know, then there was that big war that took place between verses 1 and 2. And then the earth was without form and void. We know that God doesn't make any stuff that is like that, because the Bible tells us in the book of Job that the angels rejoiced and all of these guys rejoiced when they saw that Jesus Christ was laying the foundation of the earth and all those different things. The sons of God, it says, and in this reference, the sons of God is in referring to the angels as they saw what Jesus Christ was doing. So we know that the angels was created before the earth. And so with the first creation, if you will, because they witnessed it. So here we have then that in Genesis chapter 1 verses chapter 1 and verses 2, we see that God shows up on the scene and he begins to recreate the earth. And he utilizes this law of faith to bring to pass and to restore what was broken. And so that is the same principle that you see within healing, casting out that which was broken. If you read what Jesus talked about in Isaiah 61, when he's reading about his ministry, there was a lot of brokenness there. And that which was broken, he was here to put back in place. So we see that law of faith was utilized by God himself in Genesis chapter 1, verses 2. And we see that he said, "Let there be light," and there was. So there is faith. The law of faith recreated the universe. So this law of faith supersedes the universe because it is the law that created the universe. You see what I'm saying? And because that law is available to every one of us, and those who utilize that law will do extraordinary things. We know that Jesus utilized that law and he walked on water. We know that Peter also utilized that law and he walked on water until he took his eyes off of the law. And so when he began to focus on his surroundings, that's when the Bible says that he began to sink. He began to excavate himself from the law of faith. And once you come out of the law of faith, you will always fall. And we know that Jesus Christ prevented Jairus from removing himself from the law of faith, because when he came to Jesus Christ, he said to Jesus Christ, "You know, if my daughter is sick, come lay your hands on her and she shall be healed. She shall recover." And then his gang, you know, his peeps came, and they brought additional data to him and said, "Hey, Jairus, don't bother the master anymore. Your daughter is dead." Jesus said to him, "Jairus, don't disconnect your faith from what you said. Only believe. Stay in faith," was what Jesus was saying. Stay within that law of faith. Stay within the realm of your confession. Don't move from the realm of your confession. And when you don't move from the realm of your confession, you are then in the realm of faith and operating in the law of faith. And then what I'll do is come to your house, and whatever state your daughter is in doesn't matter, because you said if you come to your house and lay hands on her, she will recover. So that was Jairus' confession, and Jesus was trying to point to him and says, don't remove yourself from your confession. Because when you remove yourself from your confession, then there's a difference there. There's a degree of unbelief. So, and doubt. And when those two entities step in, you have already disconnected your faith, yourself from the law of faith, and you're not going to get anything. So, I wanted to show you guys that the Bible tells us in Hebrews, says, and if you read the book of Hebrews chapter 11, it's a chronicle of those that walk by faith and what they did and what faith is able and capable of doing. It says, "By faith, Enoch was taken up so that he did not see death." So then by faith, one cannot see death, because we know that an individual did that once before. His name is Enoch. It says he could not be found because God had taken him away. For before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God. Remember, it tells us that Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteous. So when you believe, when you walk by faith, you are righteous, you're in the right standing, and you're pleasing God. When you and I please God, the Bible tells us that he will grant us the desires of our heart. Now, let's take a look at verses 6. And without faith, it is impossible to please God. So let's take a look at Romans chapter 3 and verses 27 and look at this thing again. I've taught many times about faith, so I suggest you guys go in and grab additional information, because we want to learn about the law of faith, because that's, as we learn about the law of faith and utilize the law of faith, we will always get what we want. But I have said to you guys before, not because we are doing our assignment means that everything is going to be rosy. Jesus Christ was doing his assignment and he got crucified, because that was part of his assignment. Paul was doing his assignment and he got brutalized. Peter was doing his assignment. Stephen was doing his assignment. Isaiah was doing his assignment and he got sawn in half. So we know that when you are doing your assignment, the three Hebrew men, they were doing their assignment and they said, no, we're not going to bow. Daniel was doing, and we know many times these guys were tossed into the lake, with lions and all this type of stuff. So, Not because, again, because these guys, if you listen to these preachers today, these televangelists, that if you're walking the faith walk, and believing God, everything should go well. You should not have any sicknesses and disease and all kinds of crazy stuff, in your life. Everything should be rosy. But that's not true. I mean, Paul had, even though he was doing the will of God, he had an ailment that held him in check, if you will, because of all the revelation that he was getting and so forth. And God felt that it was able to keep his ego in check, if you will, keep you humble. Sometimes a lot of us have information and we go off the rail. And that's, we see that in mankind. When mankind gets a lot of information, all they did was ran off the rail. So God is always trying to protect his people. So let's take a look at Romans chapter 3, verses 27. That then, what becomes of our boasting? It is excluded. But by what kind of law? By a law of works? No. But by the law of faith. So we see in the scriptures that faith is a law, the law of faith. So now when we look at Hebrews again, it says, and without this law of faith being in our life, being present within our life, without us operating within that law of faith, it then becomes impossible to please God. Why would it become impossible to please God? Because anyone who approaches God must believe, see where faith comes in, believe that he exists. You have to believe that he is alive, he's real, and he's not a force out there. He's not something that you can't relate to, as many of those names that people call him. But he is, to most of us and many of us, Father. And so when you have to believe that he is God and that he exists and he is a rewarder to them who seek him earnestly, and then it goes in and says, by faith, Noah, when warned. So one must operate within that law of faith in order to receive anything, because he is in effect one that rewards people that are walking and utilizing faith. So when these guys are in their assignment and the reward for them walking by faith and getting brutalized here, the Bible tells us that when we die here is to be present, to be absent with the body, is to be present with the Lord. So our reward continues even though we are being brutalized on this planet. And the Bible tells us so because within this kingdom, because it tells us that this kingdom, which I have read to you many times, is a kingdom of darkness. And they believe contrary to the word of God and the laws of God. But the Bible tells us those same crazy people that are called demons and angels that are fallen, they believe in this God that you and I are having difficulty in believing in. It says that they believe and they're trembling, they're scared because they know that what their judgment is about. But you and I, the Bible tells us, we go around taking the Lord's name in vain. And he says, anyone that takes my name in vain is not going to be guiltless. I'm going to hold you accountable. There will be a price for that. Now, what that price is, God never said, never made it known to us, but he said there will be priceless. You will not go blameless, if you will, apologize. So we see then that this faith, this law, without this law, it's absolutely impossible. It's virtually impossible to please God without it. And so that is the piece that we look at. And I want to take this one. I'm just laying down the foundation to show you that it is a law of faith. But then I want to, my goal is to backtrack to every single miracle. And when we talk about all those miracles in the Bible, and we will see that they didn't just, that faith was present in every single one of them. Now let's take a look at one of them. I'm going to take you. But first I wanted to solidify this principle that, that faith is a law. And when that law is being utilized, when it's being used by an individual, it will supersede. It supersedes all of the laws that are governed within the law of the kingdom of darkness. Because it was God, through faith, that recreated the earth. So then, when you and I are in faith, believing something, and the Bible tells us that faith is calling those things that are not as though they were. So Jesus, God, was calling those things that are not, let there be light and all this stuff, because it tells us that darkness was on the earth and he needed light and began to call all those things in. And so calling those things that are not as though they were, in Romans it talks about that, Romans chapter 4. So we know then that this universe that we look at and live in was created by faith. And so then, if you and I are utilizing that law, we are walking in the same power that created the universe. You understand me? We are walking with the same power when you and I speak. So then, when Jesus wanted to go to a particular place and his disciples had taken, they had taken a head start, and Jesus went to do his meditation and his prayer and so forth, because the Bible tells us that that's where the power is. Because meditate on my word day and night and you shall do these things. And so Jesus Christ was doing his meditation and his prayer, and then he decided to go meet up with those guys, and he wanted to take a shortcut because they had a head start. So he decided to walk on water because that was the fastest way for him to get to where he needs to go. And according to the word of God, there was, that night was pretty much a stormy night as they were walking. And so Jesus was just walking, coming to his disciples. They saw him, and Peter yells out, "Hey, if that's you, let me come out there and meet you." And Jesus says, "Come on out. You know, I'm here." And so Peter steps out, and he began to utilize the law of faith. And if you read the Bible story, you'll see that the storm was there. It didn't change. The storm was there. But when Peter took his eyes off of faith and began to focus on the storm, he began to sink. So now this man, Peter, began to utilize the same faith that Jesus was utilizing. And because he was utilizing the same faith, he was able to do the very same thing that Jesus Christ was doing. So then we know that that faith, that when we begin to utilize that faith, we are walking in our creative power, that ability to speak to those things that are not as though they were and make them into a reality. And that is what God showed us in Genesis chapter 1 verses 2 and on. So that we have that same capability. Let us create man in our image and our likeness. And so in his image, I look like him. I did a study about that. God has a hand. He has feet. He has eyes. He has all those things. And his likeness is, how does he operate? How does he move? How does he think? I was created just like that, and so were you. So we are able then to function just like him, because he has given us the ability to do that. So that when we function, Peter walked on the water just like Jesus. It wasn't any different. And so he began to step out. And those guys healed just like Jesus. They cast out demons just like Jesus. We talked about the one that they couldn't cast out, Jesus said, this type. So it's fasting. It's a lifestyle that he was calling them to. A disciple's lifestyle is one that incorporates fasting and prayer because, as I said, that disciple must be ready at any time when this type shows up, when they're doing whatever they're doing. So we then have to utilize this law of faith. And when we utilize this law of faith, we get a return from it. And so let's take a look at a story that everyone knows. And this is the one, they call it the first miracle or the first recorded miracle that we have of Jesus Christ. And that is in John chapter 2, verses 1 through 11, when it talks about him turning water into wine. It's really a fascinating story because in this story, there's faith all over it. And it is really an interesting story to look at. His faith from the women, the wine bearers, the ones, there's faith all over the story, and it's absolutely beautiful to take a look at and, see the power of faith. So let's take a look and see what I'm talking about so that you guys can understand and see that Jesus Christ is beautiful in the way how he operates. Now, see, he shows up at his party. His mom is there. And the mom is at this wedding. And the wine runs out. And it's really interesting that the wine runs out. And why does she care if the wine runs out? But anyway, she cared about it enough to bring it to his attention. And it says, on the third day, there was a wedding at Cana in Galilee, and the mother of Jesus Christ was there. Jesus also was invited to the wedding with his disciples. So he had his boys already called. Remember those disciples? And I keep telling you guys, each one of us are disciples in Jesus Christ. But a disciple is one who has an assignment. And because he called them off of their jobs, they were fishermen. And he called many of them off. They were tax collectors and all this thing. He called them off. He said, hey guys, follow me and I'll show you how to become fishers of men. I'll teach you about who you are and how to become stewards for the kingdom of God. So these guys, Jesus Christ is at a wedding. When the wine ran out, the mother of Jesus said to him, like I said, I don't know why she cared. It might be that she knew the people or whatever. But it tells us that they have no wine, was her statement. And Jesus said to her, woman, what does this have to do with me? You know, I'm just an invited guest, you know. And his mother said to the servant, so he said to his mother, you know, what does this have to do with me? My hour is not yet come. I'm not supposed to come on the scene yet in the sense, like this. And, she looks at him and just ignores her son. And she turns to the servants, and she said, his mother said to the servants, do whatever he tells you to do. What a statement. Do whatever he tells you to do. Now there were six, and now they began to give us some additional data. Now there were six stone water jars there for the Jewish rites of purification, each holding 20 or 30 gallons. Jesus said to the servant, fill the jars with water. And they filled them up to the brim. And he said to them, now draw some out and take it to the master of the feast. So they took it. When the master of the feast tasted the water, now become wine, and did not know where it came from, though the servants who had drawn the water knew. The master of the feast called the bridegroom and said to him, everyone, and so we know that he talks about, you know, people serve the good wine first and, you know, wait, but you serve the best wine for last and all this kind of stuff. That story, as simple as it is one of the most powerful lessons that one can see concerning faith. The servant, the faith of the servants is incredible. These people were given some words. His mother said to the servants, do whatever he tells you. So he now is going to tell them, because he saw that there were 6 stone jars over there. He saw it. And it tells us what it was for, the purpose for these things. And he says to the servant, Jesus said to the servants, fill the jar with water. And they filled it up to the brim. And then he said to them, now draw it some and take it to the master. So they took it. Powerful. Faith in action. They obeyed the word of God. They obeyed everything that he said. Jesus said, do this. They did that. That decree a thing, and it shall be established. It's really interesting how I always teach people, you have to decide first before you decree. So the original language tells us that we ought to decide a thing first. And once one man decides it, it becomes faith, becomes powerful. And when he decrees it, it becomes a reality. First, the decreeing, the deciding is for you. You believe it. And once you believe it, the decreeing thing is for the manifestation. So you must have to decide first that you are one that is walking by faith and that you're utilizing the law of faith. Once you've decided that, then you shouldn't turn around at all once you understand the law of faith. So I am trying to make it simple so you guys can understand the law of faith is following the word of God. Now, you've heard me talk about facts and truth. Facts is, in the kingdom of darkness, we live and we see all the facts. You know, the fact is your body's ridden, you're sick, you're broke, you need a job, your car, your family's, those are facts. But I guarantee you the truth of God says something different. It tells us that you can have Jesus through the utilizing of this law of faith, that he can turn water in wine just like you, because you can do the very same thing, because Peter did the very same thing by walking on water. Peter and Paul and all those guys did the same thing by casting out demons and healing the sick. So we can do the very same thing Jesus Christ did. So you and I can do this. It's your faith. Look at the faith of Jesus Christ and look at the faith of the servants. Powerful stuff. Jesus said to the servants, says, go fill the jar. And they filled it up. And then he said to them, go and take it to the master and pour it out there. They did. And it manifests. So my intro to this faith that I wanted to tell you guys, this law of faith, will always bring these results. And so Jesus operated by this law of faith. Everything he did is what he first, remember the scripture when he says, Jesus says, I only do what I see the Father do. So then he sees the Father healing. So he believed that the Father is a healer and he heals. He lay hand on the sick and shall recover. So everything that we do on this planet has to be done within the realm of the law of faith. We can't do anything outside of the law of faith. And let me show you something about the Bible. You know, and it tells us about the scriptures. Let me take you to Mark. But you can find this also in Matthew. I think Matthew 13:58. Mark 6:5 has it. 6:14 also has those things. And so there are a couple of places that you can see that principle being taught all through the Bible. It tells us that in Mark 6:5, I'm going to read this quickly so you guys, it says, he could do not any miracle there except lay a hand on a few sick people to heal them. Why was that? Because they had no faith. Let me read a little more. It says, Jesus said unto them, only in his hometown, amongst his relative, and in his own house was a prophet without honor. So he could not perform any miracle there except lay hand on a few sick and heal them. He was amazed at their unbelief. And he went around from village to village teaching people. So their unbelief, okay, because when there is unbelief, that means there is no faith. One has disconnected from faith. And so because of there is no faith, Jesus can only touch a few people and do a few things. And probably most of that is probably by his faith. And so, but still, you got to remember this is the ingredients that he's looking for. And we started this study with the man at the pool of Bethesda. And it tells us that there were tons of people there. And yet Jesus saw him. And Jesus didn't heal all of that. God is in the midst of all of these things. This healer that was sent, this man that was sent to heal all sicknesses and disease. And we saw through the scripture that he healed tons of them. They were bringing them by the droves. And he was healing, casting out demons. Yet this pool was packed. And he only healed one man. Because the Bible says Jesus saw something in him. And what was Jesus looking for? His faith. And Jesus saw it. And we're going to see. Remember those people that were bringing all their sickness and their sick and disease and demon possessed to Jesus? That's faith. The people were bringing them. So the people believed that Jesus was going to heal them. And so they were bringing them by faith. They were walking at night, bringing their sick and their disease and demon-possessed people to Jesus Christ because they believed that he was going to do that. And because all of those, that faith was there, the Bible says Jesus healed them all because everyone that was bringing their kids and their family member and their sons and daughters and neighbors and who knows what they were bringing, but they were bringing people that were demon possessed and Jesus was casting that out because that whole situation, those scriptures that we read, all of it, the people were utilizing the law of faith to bring them to Jesus Christ. So anytime you see the Word of God, when Jesus is dealing with the individual, or the father brings the child to Jesus, or the mother brings the child, or the centurion brings the thing, you know, they're standing, they're coming with faith. Jairus came with his faith. And then his people came with additional information to disconnect him from his faith. But Jesus says, don't even allow that secondary information to disconnect you from your primary confession, which is that if I come to your house, you know, and lay hands on your daughter, she shall recover. That's your primary confession. Whatever else the doctor comes and say to you, whatever else the situation looks like, whatever else your boss says to you, whatever else your wife or husband says to you, your primary confession that you've made to Jesus Christ and to God by faith, don't remove yourself from it because of the timeline that doesn't manifest in your timeline. But if you stay focused and stay with it, that law of faith works just like the law of gravity works, just like the law of flight works, just like any other law on this planet that works, regardless of how you feel, regardless of what you think, regardless of whatever. If you operate within the boundaries of the law of gravity, you're going to die, man. If you step on top of a mountain and jump, you know, and you're playing with the law of gravity, the law works. You may not think it works when you're walking up to the elevator. I don't know. You know, some of you people think you could fly because we know that people try that, you know, but that law of gravity always works. The law of flight always works. When a plane takes off and utilizes the amount of friction and force and so forth, we see that planes are in the air all day long by hundreds of thousands of them because they're utilizing the law of flight. The laws that are here work. But there is a premier law. There's a law that supersedes all the laws here. The law of sowing and reaping work, you know, but Jesus came and cursed, utilize the law of faith and and kill the tree. You know what I'm saying? So this law of fate, when utilized, it is powerful, powerful stuff. It moves God. It pleases God, in other words. So when Jesus Christ saw, or when this woman said within herself, you see, as I said, one must decide before you decree. The woman said within herself, she decided that if I'm going to touch the hem of his garment, I'm going to get. She decided it, and then she decreed it. And then the primary declaration that she made was what she believed. I just want to touch the hem of his garment. She wasn't trying to touch his hand, his foot, his leg, his eyes. She didn't care about none of that. She didn't care about none of that. All she cared about was the hem, because her fate was in his hem. The declaration that she made was in her hem. She didn't let the crowd distract her from what she decided and declared. And so that's what we have to do. Don't allow the crowd or the additional data to or the storm, because it gets stormy out there. And I did a podcast a little while ago, talked about every, your faith walk is a test, because God intended it to be that way. Why? Because he intended it to, he said that the just shall live by faith. How? It says from faith to faith. So then every faith project, and I did it, I told everyone this in a podcast, every faith project has a test. And so what is your test? Abraham, the Bible says, Abraham believed God and was credited to him as righteousness. He says he did not waver through unbelief. He had his battle. Unbelief was something that he had to deal with. Sarah's battle, she had hers. We know that everyone has a battle. Peter had his, and the Bible showed us that he failed it, basically, and Jesus had to intervene. And so many of us, we fail, but Jesus and God still intervenes, because we are children of the kingdom. And so, but don't disconnect yourself from it, because it's a law, and the law must work, and the law will work. But you have to realize that it is a law, and not to disconnect yourself from it. So we are going to take a look at next week, and I want to take some of those healings and identify those individuals that showed the faith, and as a result of their faith, that law, they were operating in the law of faith. The guys, the friends that had their friend that was crippled, and they were trying to get to Jesus because they believed that Jesus Christ is a healer. You must believe that he is God and he's a rewarder. Okay? So they believed that Jesus Christ had the ability to heal and that he would heal. And so when they couldn't get him, that faith test, when they couldn't get access to him, again, their faith test from faith to faith, they decided that they are going to go another route in order to get to him. Their focus was to get to him and to get their friend in front of him. And I'm sure that they said it. They declared it. All we need to do is get him in front of Jesus Christ, and he's going to do it. So now their primary confession moved them to continue and move forward. And so they did not allow the secondary stuff on the outside, meaning that the resistance, that there is no space for them to get access to Jesus Christ, to hinder them or to stop them from what they decreed. They decreed that we got to get him in front of Jesus Christ. So now they began to look at a different route by which they can achieve their primary confession. And that was get to the roof. And so what they began to do is rip that roof apart, and then they ripped it apart big enough so that they can fit that stretcher in there and drop their friend. Jesus looks up and he says that the fate of your friends, that ingredient, that law, your friends were operating within the law of fate. And because of that, I recognize it because it is the law that created the universe. And I'm pleased when people use those laws because I created them to have to become gods of this universe. How are you going to become a god of this universe? Is to use the law of fate that God has given to you and I. And so it pleases God when he sees us take our rightful positions and utilize the law of fate and walk in faith. And because he says that the just shall live by it is something that we are to call to be walking in our lifestyle. And as I believe the reason why he said from fate to fate is because each project is designed that comes into our life is to design to give us a better understanding of God and to show us that he cares and he is a rewarder to those who diligently seek him. And so as we stay within the law of fate and as we utilize it, it will cause God, the originator of the law of fate, to work with us on our behalf and to make our desired outcome possible. And so Jesus Christ was moved by the act, and he made a statement, and he reciprocated, and he brought healing. The centurion soldier came. He says, hey, my servant is sick. Jesus looks at him, so how do you want me to handle this? Do you want me to come with you to go to your servant? He says, no, I don't need you to come. I simply need you to speak the word because I have some revelation within myself. I know about authority. And he begins to explain that he has a revelation of authority and how he got that revelation of authority because he works in a military and military works within the understanding of, you know, when it deals with authority. He has a clear understanding of that. So he sees it and he understands that Jesus Christ is one that walks with that type of authority, that he has authority within this realm. And Jesus said to him, okay. And then Jesus releases the word because that's what the man's his primary confession was. And Jesus reciprocated and the man, and Jesus began to look at him. He says, you know what? I've never seen anything like that yet. Your faith is incredible. Why? Because that man's faith was incredible because he had a revelation of authority. And Jesus Christ was walking in authority. Remember when he gave that same authority to his disciples, which he gave to me, that same authority that he gives to you and I to speak over sicknesses and disease and evil spirits that we studied in the last podcast. So guys, this thing is not complicated at all. People make it complicated. They make it as really this Christian walk as complicated as can be because they're trying to control you. They're trying to keep you in their church as a member. But the goal here is so that you and I will become sons of God, sons of our Lord Jesus, of our Father, so that we can walk in that same authority, the same power as Jesus Christ. And how Jesus walked on this earth in that power was through the law of faith. Now, when we look at Adam's history, his story, we know that he stepped out of faith, and that's when he fell. Faith is obedience to God's word. He says, don't eat, don't, you know. And when he partook, he stepped out of faith, and as a result, crashed and burned. But remember, even though he crashed and burned, God had a plan B in order to restore him. Because God is a rewarder. He loves us all. And so I want to tell you guys, God loves you, man. You may not think so because of how bad you think you are. But the blood of Jesus Christ is more powerful than anything you got. All you need to do is believe. The Bible tells us that you have to believe. You have to believe in your heart that he died for you. That the dying was an act of obedience to restore us spiritually, our soul and our spirit and the body all became damaged. Everything, our thoughts became damaged when our father, our original father in the flesh, sinned. And Jesus Christ came to do that. And Jesus overcame the enemy by faith because he told him, he says, the word of God says. And when you look at that encounter with Lucifer, he used the law of faith to win. When Adam showed, Adam lost because he vacated the law of faith and he incorporated other laws and he lost. And so Jesus came to restore that. When you and I walk by faith, the Bible says that we get what we want because It is the ingredients that God looks for that because it pleases him. And we know that Joshua utilized his faith to change the history of mankind when he said to the moon and the sun, "Don't move. We are in the midst of a war. I need you to stay still." And his declaration was that they would be in, their motion would set, they would be motionless until he finished this battle and conquered his enemies. When that was done, then it went back into the cycle that was, it was called to do. So those entities, the sun and the moon, are alive. And they were obedient to the law of faith, because when we speak the law of faith, we are speaking and walking in God's likeness. And when we walk in God's likeness, we will do things just like him. And Jesus said, even greater things than what you saw me do. The Bible says the just shall live by faith. We walk by faith and not by sight.